on ABC Local Radio Queensland. Okay, time now to join business futurist Moritz Boslowski from businessfuturist.com. Today, taking a look at the technology that comes to fruition from the original Star Trek TV series way back in the 60s. Moritz, good morning.
Hey, hello, David.
Moritz, beam me up, Moritz. My goodness, a lot of things have come out of that old 60s series. How can it be?
It's quite incredible when you look back at all the technology they used and we thought would never come around, it's just become almost ordinary or on the cusp. Really, it has to do with human imagination, that it sparked 40 years ago, 50 years ago, the thought of, well, if that's possible, how would we make it happen? And we've spent the last 30, 40 years trying to make it happen.
Yeah, but the creator of the series was, I think, Gene Roddenberry, wasn't it?
It was, absolutely.
Some sort of scientific background?
No, not really, not in particular. I mean, he was a science fiction writer. Others have had more of a scientific background. He was just a great person to imagine space and what could happen in it. Let's start off with the humble mobile telephone that we use now. The mobile telephone, which was invented by Motorola, was 100% out of Star Trek. The gentleman that invented the mobile phone had a previous version of it. He watched Star Trek one day, and this is his own words, and said that all of a sudden it came to him how it should be evolved into what we now know it to be, which is cellular technology. And within about 2 or 3 years, he'd had the first prototype up and running of what we now know as a mobile phone.
So without Star Trek, he probably wouldn't have come up with that idea.
Well, we had the technology before. We didn't have the cellular technology. So what he had in those days was a telephone that went back to the operator, and the operator had to connect you onto somewhere else. What we now have, of course, is cells in all sorts of places around our cities, and the cells connect us automatically. So that part of it may never have eventuated without Star Trek.
Fascinating. There you go, the old humble phone. What about friendly androids and robots?
Yeah, the robots, the things that you and I are always waiting for to come onto the scene. Again, in the 60s, when this was talked about, it was all science fiction, and today we're seeing more and more robots coming into everyday space. We're seeing them used in aged care, for instance, as carers. We're seeing them used in all kinds of spaces. And we're about, I think, only 5 to 10 years away from seeing something that looks like an android. In other words, something that looks a bit more humanoid in the way that it operates. But certainly robots are on our landscape now and going to be a part of our lives ongoing.
Captain Kirk was often talking about warp speed. That's still a way off, isn't it?
It's a way off, but the scientists have actually found how to make it possible. There was a scientist called Albuquerque in 1994, and don't ask me how this works, but he said that we could put a ship, a normal spaceship, into what he called a bubble of time and then warp the space around it. So that sounded incredible, like something that belonged in Star Trek, but NASA only last year said that the theory was absolutely possible. They can't make it practical yet, but the theory in itself was absolutely possible, and that they were going to work towards it over the next decades.
Extraordinary, again, ahead of its time.
Yeah.
What about transporter beams?
Yeah, you know, the old beam me up Scotty they used to use all the time. Again, not quite there yet, but we have all sorts of researchers across the planet who have had breakthroughs in it. The earliest one was in 2006. It was researchers in Copenhagen. Again, lots of scientific words, but they use quantum entanglement. But what they were able to do with that was to take something quite small, microscopic, and move that about 18 inches. And then we had about 3 years later scientists, again at the Joint Quantum Institute, who were able to move something a bit larger than that, 3 feet away from where it had started. So again, a couple of decades away, but great scientific minds thinking on it and pondering that it may be possible.
So we could possibly go on holiday through a transporter beam?
We're a long, long way off it, but if these guys are right, yeah, who knows? I mean, I think we're talking 50, 100 years plus, but yes. Certainly thoughts around it.
What about tractor beams?
Yeah, the great thing where the spaceship used to be able to hang on to something and make it travel with it. Again, the tractor beam things are looked at. There's a group at the Technion Israel Institute of Technology. They published a paper where they said they could employ light waves to pull or push objects through space. So they believe that they have the technology already to make that happen. We just don't have the application for it yet.
And what about some medical breakthroughs?
Well, lots of them. There's the tricorder. The tricorder was that machine that the doctor used to use, a little mobile device, and she or he, depending on which series it was, used to wipe it up and down your body and be able to tell what's wrong with it. We already have a an introductory version of that by Scanadu. We talked briefly about that a couple of weeks ago, and that's about $170 on the marketplace. It's not a toy, but you know, not quite what we saw on the show. But there's $10 million up for grabs at the moment through what's called the X Prize for the first company that can come up with a scanner that can measure vital signs and detect at least 15 diseases. And what's interesting in that space is that there are at least four companies I know of who think that they are either on the verge or have already cracked it. So we'll most probably see in the next 5 to 10 years again a device that may not be on market yet, but certainly will be in prototype and able to do it.
And medical holograms, they were shown back in the series, they're sort of in place already, aren't they?
Yeah, we do. We have lots of holograms again. The ability to be able to take a virtual person from where they are, leave them in their original space and show them as something else somewhere else. And you're right, we're seeing them already. We've seen them through through doctors and hospitals using that sort of thing. We're seeing them in airports as well. New York and London has them. They are a hologram that greets you in London. It greets you into the airport and tells you what you can and can't do about your chemicals, you know, waters and those kinds of things, what you can take on board. But what's interesting is also in the space of music, we're seeing a lot of artists who have departed already, like Michael Jackson, Elvis, Marilyn Monroe, coming back as 3D holograms. Now, Michael Jackson's family has made $170 million to date on his 3D hologram image.
And incredible.
Elvis's family's made $55 million just on the rights to bring back his hologram image.
So not far off when we actually may go to a concert starring Michael Jackson as a hologram?
I think, well, we're already doing it. The Japanese have been doing it since 2009. I'm going to get the pronunciation wrong, but there's a pop artist in Japan called Hatsune Miku, M-I-K-U. She is a female, but she's a hologram, and she's never, ever existed. She was actually built from gaming technology. She looks real on stage, but is totally synthesized. And she turns over millions and millions of dollars and fills out auditoriums, literally, of tens of thousands of people who come to see this hologram do an entire show. And again, there's nothing real on stage. It's just a hologram that you're watching.
Incredible. Incredible technology from Star Trek that was ahead of its time. Anything else that stands out for you?
Well, lots of other things. We talked about holodecks. So holodecks are those things where we might be able to take ourselves in one spot and feel like we've gone across to, you know, London or Paris or wherever else. Holodecks are actually on the horizon. We can do them. In tourism, we're talking about them as being short-term travel. But we also have holodecks in the way that we train our pilots. If you think about the cockpit that they go into, the virtual one they step into, they never really leave ground, but they're able to drive, you know, their plane, or fly their plane, I should say, through them. So holodecks, again, came straight out of Star Trek, and nowadays is quite an ordinary piece of kit building itself into something more purposeful down the track.
What about the cloaking devices?
Yeah, the old cloaking device where they wouldn't be able to see us when we snuck up on them. Again, we have that technology already. It's mostly being used by armies and by governments, but there is the ability now to cloak. There is a great piece, if you look on YouTube, where they cloaked an army tank so you couldn't see it. And then there was also a Mercedes-Benz, which was, again, part of a promotional piece using the same technology, where they made that disappear as well. Again, the object is, in fact, where it's supposed to be. It's just that it can't be detected by the human eye.
Really quite extraordinary how ahead of its time Star Trek was. Really amazing. Now, I guess it proves that if you can imagine something, if you can dream big enough, it's possible.
And that's an absolute beautiful statement. I mean, that's exactly what it is. We just need the spark. We need to be told, well, it's possible, or it might be possible, and human endeavor will take over from there.
All right, Maurice, it's been great catching up. As always, remind us how we can keep up to date with what's happening in the future.
So it's businessfuturist.com.
Excellent. Maurice Baslowski, thanks very much.
A pleasure.
Maurice Baslowski from Business Futurist.